former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi here on this Saturday morning. Waking up with you guys. Michael, how are we doing today?
We're doing good. Yeah, we're doing good. How good was the garden last night?
Oh, my God, it's awesome.
Isn't that great? You got to love that. Knicks wore their old uniforms. I don't know where they've been, but, I mean, I love seeing them in that white, you know. Great, great memories. It was awesome. I mean, what a defensive effort by them. I mean, what, they gave up 32 points in the first half?
Yep. They held the Cavaliers to 79 points, the first team all season long, playoffs or regular season, to be under 80 points.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, look, I think this is going to go back and forth, though. I think it's an adjustments to the adjustments, but it was fun to watch. And the Hawks surprised me. I mean, what a first half. I mean, my Lord, all those points in the first half. You know, I mean, I'm sure Boston will come back in this next game and kind of get things back in order. But you got to give the Hawks credit for fighting through. Yeah. Everybody kind of thought they were done. You know, everybody thought they were going to walk away from this. I thought so, too.
Yeah, everybody was saying trade Trae Young and he's overrated and all that stuff. And he played well last night.
And no surprise the Nuggets won. And, of course, probably the biggest surprise of the evening, I have to say, I don't know how you felt about it, Femi, but my shock, I mean, couldn't believe it. I mean, I'm completely amazed that Joel Embiid's injured. I couldn't believe it.
Major curveball.
Yeah. You know, we wrote for the Daily Coach today. We interviewed the former team doctor, Michael Lewis, not the author Michael Lewis. It's a different Michael Lewis, the team doctor of the Chicago Bulls. He's written several books. And he said that Jordan's career had 179 playoff games in his career. And he played in all of them.
Oh.
Shocking.
No, there you go.
179. He's 79 for 79. You can't say that for the big fella. But I kind of sensed that. I was talking to a friend of mine in the league yesterday and in the NBA, and I said, he won't play. There's no way he's going to play the next game. And then I love the way the release came out where he could play at the first part of next week. Like, if you know anything about knee sprains, like, they don't heal within 24 hours. Like, so this is clearly, he's got a little bit of a sprain, but we really want to rest the big fella.
You don't want to take any chances. Boston is looming, at least that's what we all assume is looming in the second round there. But we're going to there's a question I want to ask you about Joel Embiid, but I want to hold it off to now. I want to let the folks know what we got going on over these next two hours here.
Go ahead,
take
over. Play point guard.
Just for a little bit.
Just play point guard. Do your thing.
Trying to facilitate here. We got three good guests, and the folks should know that we have three great guests on the program here. Coming up in 30 minutes, Matthew Friedman, Director of Content over at the Betting Pros. He has the number one rated mock drafter. According to his Twitter bio, he has an excellent mock draft that he's put out there, and we will talk about that mock draft in 30 minutes.
You know who was number two? You know who was two last year?
Who was two?
Our Matty Humans.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, Matty Humans, who doesn't really do it. He got second place because Matty's one of those people that doesn't listen to everybody else. Yes, go ahead. Continue with our lineup today. We got 1-800-BUCKET in the lineup.
But... Oh, we do. 45 minutes from now. I think I'm more excited for this than you are. I'm absolutely fired up. Brian Broaddus of 105 Through the Fan, former NFL scout, now is a media member. He's always grinding the tape as a Dallas Cowboy fan. I have an affinity for Broaddus. His excellent analysis, whether it be with the Dallas Cowboys or just the draft overall. We'll talk some draft with Broaddus coming up here in 45 minutes. And at 8:30, our buddy Thomas Gable, racing sportsbook director over at the Borgata.
He'll have some commentary on NB, too, for sure. TG will have some commentary on that too.
I bet he will. And we'll have some commentary on the NFL draft. 60 minutes from now, we're going to do NFL draft superlatives. I'm excited for that. Mm-hmm. And then the GM translator at 8:15. We're going to translate some anonymous quotes from executives, scouts from throughout the league about these quarterbacks coming up at 8:15 West Coast. I'm 11:15 over on the East Coast. But you mentioned Joel Embiid, and that was the big story that came out of yesterday in the NBA there, is that he's going to be missing today's game 4 against the Brooklyn Nets. Right now, Philadelphia, 1.5-point favorites. Total is at 209.5. And Michael, I'm curious because I want to go this direction with you because I know that you're into the mob stuff. You're into all the into the what is on the surface might not be what's actually true. So yesterday when I saw this, I put on my tinfoil hat and I thought to myself, I said, is this possibly a shadow suspension from the league?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
And they don't really want to embarrass their MVP, who will probably announce in a week or so. Is this maybe a shadow suspension?
You know, I think he should have been suspended. As much as I'm a 76er fan, I think he should have been thrown out of the game and he should have got suspended. So I say that because you can't kick some player. I mean,
it was ridiculous.
Ridiculous, right? I mean, we watched Draymond get suspended and Embiid doesn't. I mean, if I were Draymond, I would be upset about that. So I just had a sense that he fought his way through the game. Mm-hmm. But knowing Embiid the way I know Embiid and have watched him over his career, and I don't wear blinders like most 76er fans do, where he can do no wrong. Like, I knew he was going to miss the next game. I knew it. I just knew it. There was no doubt in my mind. And in fact, I sent Thomas Gable a text saying that he'll miss the next game. And I told my friend in the league, guaranteed miss the next game before it came out. So I have documentation of it. There's no denying it. So it's just part of what, you know, what happens with him. And I'm sure, you know, every year it's happened in the playoffs. And look, this is a problem. Look at the Clippers. Look at Steve Ballmer. Nobody tries to do more for his team than Ballmer. He's paid George. He's paid Kawhi. Kawhi has told them, the team, look, don't worry about me during the regular season. I'll be there for you in April. And now it's April and he's hurt again.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not hurt. I'm not trying to imply that at all. All I'm saying is, you know, when you don't play during the regular season and we end up being the fourth seed or the fifth seed and now we're paying a price for that, and then you're not ready in April, where are we going?
It's tough, man. It really is tough. And I don't blame the Clippers going down this road, because everyone will say that, hey, like the trade that they made to get Paul George is a disaster because they haven't made it to the conference finals and all that.
It was a disaster. Alexander's a better player.
Alexander's a hell of a player. I mean, he might be first-team All-NBA, but I think that they had to do this in order to be contenders.
If they had Alexander on the team, they'd be better.
But they wouldn't have Kawhi on the team.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah, that package deal has to go.
It was a package deal, yeah. It's like you traded SGA, phenomenal player, but in order to get Kawhi, you had to get Paul George first.
I mean, are we ever going to learn that from the Brooklyn experiment, from the Clippers experiment, from LeBron being the GM, that maybe it's not a smart thing to do this? I mean, maybe it's not. If you're a team builder, maybe it's not the right thing to do is to listen to the players, to collect other players. I mean, let's be clear here. Chris Paul, it's over for Chris Paul.
Yeah, he doesn't look that good.
Not that good. He doesn't look good at all. You're too nice, Femi.
Well, he had a little resurgence in the second half of game two.
There's your bag. Here we go.
Second half of game two. I was ready to bury him. Then the second half of game two, he had a little resurgence.
I mean, you got to.
He's slow. We're in the profession now
of saying what we see.
Yeah,
if you see it, you got to say it. Cosell said that. He's right. Why are we so afraid to say it? We're not paying his guarantee. Thank God is right. We're not paying that guarantee, but he's not the same player. It's okay to say it. All players run out of steam at some point. We all do. You know, we're going to go to retirement. You know, we're going to be in a retirement community, you know, even if it's the best one in New Jersey.
Yeah, even if it is. What did he say? It's a living facility or whatever?
It's not a retirement community.
It's not a retirement
community. No, it was like he didn't want it to be known as a nursing home. It's a retirement community.
It's not a nursing home.
I mean, Livia was miserable. Even when he brought him the cannolis, she was miserable. And those great almond cookies that they make, I mean, it was terrible.
Man, I was miserable watching her. I wasn't too sad to see her go in season two.
See, you have a little bit of a, you know, you get mad at her, but you won't get mad at Chris Paul. You get mad at Olivia Soprano and you won't get mad at Chris Paul.
Well, Olivia Soprano, God rest her soul, she can't get mad at me, you know? Chris Paul might hear this.
Who cares? Who cares?
Chris Paul might hear this. But right now, the Suns are 7.5-point favorites in LA. The game's tipping off at 12:30. So a quick turnaround here for this Clippers team without Kawhi Leonard, without Paul George. Do you think they can drum up another effort to stay in this game? I'm a little weary this time. Like game three, I backed them. They were able to get there, but man, this is a quick
Norman
turnaround.
Powell, can he do it duplicated again? I don't know. You can get that many points from Norman Powell again. I mean, this is really Monty Williams's team. This is the moment you've got to take it over. Mm-hmm. No Kawhi, no Paul George. They're wounded. When you get a wounded team, you got it. Cause he could, what if he plays in game five and it's 2-2, you know, now you're back in. This is the moment you've got to take over the tournament and you got to take over the series. So I would say 7.5 is a lot of points, but I mean, it can be done. I mean, they're a 7.5-point favorite on the road.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, imagine what it would be if it was a home game. I mean, we're talking about double digits here. But the Phoenix Suns would be favored. I have the one series bet that I made heading into this first round was over 5.5 games in this series.
You got it.
Right now we needed to go to six games. I don't know if we're going to get
there. I think you're going to need to get...
The Kawhi thing is now throwing it into a whole loop.
Yeah, it does throw it completely into a loop.
I'm a little disappointed.
There's no question about that. But look, this is what happens when, you know, you're going with these guys that build your team and all of a sudden they're not there for you. It's somewhat disappointing.
It is very disappointing. And for the Memphis Grizzlies, they might get their guy back. Ja Morant participated in practice. I mean,
I'll tell you one thing. The more I think about Dylan Brooks's comments, like if I were the GM of the Grizzlies, like I would have fined him for conduct detrimental. Seriously, this idiot.
You think he's waking up LeBron?
What are we doing? Like, why would you pet the tiger? Like, let him go. Like, seriously, you had five fouls. You played 23 minutes. Like, what are we doing? Like, if I was his teammate, I would like, shut up.
For content, it's amazing to see somebody make that quote about one of the greatest players of all time, just to say he's old now. we're not concerned about him and all this stuff. It's a wild comment, but that's Dylan Brooks, and that's been his attitude. And I feel like if he strays away from that, people would be like, oh, what's going on here? He kind of has to lean into being the NBA heel.
Yeah, I mean, but it's stupidity.
It's stupidity.
I mean, look, LeBron's let's just say this. I think one of the best bets on the table today is LeBron to go over 29.5 points.
Mm.
I think it's one of the best bets. I think LeBron probably got an extra IV. He's probably done more stuff. He's really ready to go. I would be shocked if LeBron just didn't look at him and just they just dominate this game.
I'm trying to pull up the exact quote of what LeBron said yesterday.
He doesn't have to say anything. He's smart enough. He'll just say it with the way he plays.
I believe he said that I'm not here for the BS. I'm listening to plays in basketball, and then ended the media availability.
That's smart.
Tells you where he's coming from.
Yeah, tells you where his head is. Yeah. Thank you, Dylan. Thank you, Dylan.
Lakers 4.5 point favorites. We'll talk some more NBA coming up later on in hour number two. But let's get to the NFL draft on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round, so check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. 15 minutes from now, Matthew Friedman, I should say. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'd call him Matthew. Matthew's what we have on the title here, so we'll call him Matthew, Director of Content over at the Betting Pros. Will join us to talk some NFL draft. He has a mock draft out there. He dabbles into the draft betting, so we'll get his thoughts and hopefully get some bets out there for us here on the show. But
I wonder if he was on Bryce Young early enough. What's Bryce Young? What, minus 15?
Minus 2,000 over at BetMGM now. So it's we hope you listened to the GM shuffle a little over a month ago where we were talking about Bryce Young, and you mentioned it. Hey, you said Bryce Young is the guy I believe that they traded up for, and everything since then has been Bryce Young to Carolina, and now we're just waiting less than a week from now to hear the official announcement.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait till what? The draft starts at 5 o'clock out here.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait till 8:15 to make it official.
Do you think they'll leak something out, or do you think they're going to make them the TV show takes precedent?
I think the league loves this drama. I think they love it. They just love it.
Is there even – because nobody's talking about the first overall pick now, it feels like.
No, everybody's talking about what's happening from 2 on down.
Exactly, yeah. So it's like, what's the drama? Just let Carolina –
We got to run the promos. We got to run the sad stories. I mean, get your Kleenex ready for sad. I mean, we're going to run the sad stories. You need 5 boxes of Kleenex on draft day. I mean, think about it. It's supposed to be a rejoyous time, and the networks refuse to, they want to make us cry the whole time. I mean, the puppy died. I mean, it's everything. Like, come on.
So I don't.
But I don't want to undermine. Look, one thing I learned in my 35 plus years is when you interview these kids from college and you learn about their backgrounds and you learn about the experiences and the upbringing and how hard some of these kids had to fight through, you know, I've often told a kid, I'm in all of you. It's just sitting in the room. I've often said that to a kid, I'm in all of you. I don't know how you did this. Like, I don't know how you're here. I don't know how you're here. You know, because I grew up in a very nice little town that was safe and sound. Like, I didn't have to go through what you went through. So I just listening to you walking down that path, I'm in awe. And I think we don't really we need to tell that story in a positive way, because these kids are truly that when they get to this point, they have really overcome a lot. A lot of them have.
Yeah, no, it is a really, it's a story of perseverance. I think it's one of the cooler aspects of the draft is that every single selection is a dream coming true.
Right.
And that's like the part, like obviously we get into the weeds of the football stuff because that's what we're paid to talk about. And that's what most people want to listen to. But it is every single, like you see the tears, you see the hugs and the handshakes and all that stuff because it's a fun time for
but
all
But I wish
kids.
We would have more of, okay, this is why Bryce Young is going to make Carolina good. Because I think Bryce Young will make Carolina good. I think Bryce Young, I would play, I think, what's their 7.5, the total? I'm going to take the over on Carolina. I mean, look, they got a really good offensive line. Mm-hmm. I know they need receivers. They can find that. Their defense is improved. They need one more pass rusher on defense. If they keep Horn and Jackson healthy at corner, they're pretty good. I think they'll change defensively what they're doing, you know, and they'll attack. I think this is, and this kid to me is, it's not going to be a learning curve for him in the league. I really don't think that. He's going to step on the field and play well right away.
Well, Carolina right now is +275.
I like it.
To win the NFC South.
I like it.
It's interesting, isn't it?
I do. I like it. I mean, I think the Bucs are, to me, a disaster. Even if they trade up to get C.J. Stroud, or if they trade up to get Richardson, I think the Bucs, based on their cap situation, based on their roster right now, they're going to be, it's going to be a hard year for Todd Bowles.
How about the Falcons? The media seems to like Atlanta this year. Just
you know, it's funny. They
the
keep giving, the media keeps giving them Bijan Robinson, and I thought their two backs last year ran the ball really well.
Yeah.
You know, they got a lot of production out of them, and maybe, you know, the Arthur Smith and the Derrick Henry relationship in terms of love in the back. But I think Bijan is more of a weapon than he is just a true running back, so he could fit in. I think the Falcons have to go defensively, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, what we appear to know for the NFL draft is that Bryce Young is going to go number one. After that, all bets are off, I feel like. And earlier this week, Indianapolis Colts general manager Chris Ballard, the Colts hold the 4th overall pick, had their pre-draft press conference. And he was asked about if they feel pretty good about what's going to happen at the top of the draft. Here's what Ballard had to say.
As you sit here, do you have a pretty good idea how 1, 2, 3 go or not?
No. No idea.
Really?
No, and I don't think anybody does. Now, everybody thinks they do. I mean, of course, everybody thinks they do, and everybody has an inside source that's given them information of what's going to be done. But I think, as you all know, just look at the mock drafts and tell me how accurate they are after the draft. You don't. Nobody knows. Nobody's given out information.
How much lying do you think goes on right now?
Oh, everybody's lying. I might be the most honest, unfortunately. But everybody's lying.
You guys lie?
I think you know Melly well enough. Like, usually if you ask a question, I'll either dance around it or give you an answer. Today, I'm a dancer.
He's good.
Let's put on the show up there.
He's good. I mean, look, I like Chris a lot. I respect Chris. He's taken a lot of criticism. I think his team is better than most people think it is, you know, in terms of he needs a left tackle. There's no denying that. He needs a quarterback. The Costanza injury really hurt their team. They couldn't fill that need. That hurt them. He's tried to piece it together. He's, you know, I know a lot of times that, you know, there, some of those trades they made for quarterbacks were not really what the front office wanted, but they needed the coach to kind of, the coach wanted it, whether it was Rivers and Wentz. And Ryan became kind of like another stopgap to see if they could get him through. So, but he's right. Nobody knows. I do think we know one, and I think Chris knows one. And then Chris knows who number one is. 2 and 3, 4, I agree, no one knows. I think this is going on in Houston. From reliable sources to me is that Houston loves Tyree Wilson. And I think they love Will Anderson. I think it's some medical situation because of the foot injury. But Tyree Wilson is a very hot commodity in that building. And I think it's either going to be Wilson at 2 or Anderson at 2, or maybe Anderson at 2 and Wilson at 3, because both teams need outside pass rushers at 2 and 3. Now, I think Monty Ossendorf, who has been in New England with us, you know, he uses a grading system. I'm sure he's going to want to take someone clean. And your boy Jonathan Gannon, who was a disaster, you know, yesterday, basically, Jonathan Gannon had a flashbulb memory. You know what that is? That's when you have an event in your life that you think you remember, but you really don't. You don't have it nailed down. Where were you on 9/11? You remember where you were, but when you really think about it, maybe I wasn't there. you know, where were you when this event happened in the world, when the Challenger blew up in I can remember I was at the 49ers at 7-Eleven Nevada Street in the front, and the receptionist and we were watching a little, you know, you have those memories, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Gannon had a bad one, and he's that trust and credibility, I think, is going to affect him as we move forward, because he took on the Philadelphia media with lies. I don't think you want to do that.
No, you definitely don't want to do that. I didn't read too much about what was going on with Gannon. I saw people tweeting about it and some of the stuff. Like, it seemed like
it was bad. It was all lies, lies, lies. Frank Pantangeli says lies, lies, lies.
Man, no, that's not good.
That was disappointing. There should have been I got to send the director of the Mob Museum a note. He needs a Frank Pantangeli section over there.
She said it was the perfect place. You want to add some tweaks now, huh?
Yeah, I want to get Frank Pantangeli on the wall over there. He deserves it.
All right. We can always improve. But I think from a betting standpoint, that quote from Chris Ballard is really interesting, because I feel like because of the amount of mock drafts that we have and all the information in the 24/7 media cycle, we get into our head of, okay, this is how the draft is going to go. It's going to be Bryce Young. It's going to be so-and-so and this and that. There's so much uncertainty within the league. As a bettor, that leads me to be like, okay, well, if there's uncertainty, are there some bigger plus money, longer odds that we should be attacking? Because nothing is set in stone.
I mean, look, you could easily say, I said this yesterday on the show to you, what happens if Ballard takes the offensive tackle from Ohio State? He needs a left tackle. What happens if Ballard takes the left tackle and then tries to sign Lamar? If he takes the left tackle, the NFL Network's desk and the ESPN desk will completely blow up. The faces on those five guys, who have none of them have been in a room before, will absolutely go berserk. I mean, how could he possibly do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you see the Nick Bosa quote? I think this is something really relevant here. And I think we really need to, and it applies to this draft so much. Nick Bosa, whether this is true or not, but it was said that he told the Cardinals.
Steve Kime said this on the Cowherd show yesterday.
If you take that little quarterback, you're going to regret not taking me. And I think it's perfectly framed, because what he's saying is, I'm the better player. This draft, for all the people that want to criticize Houston for not taking a quarterback, for all the people that want to criticize all these teams that need quarterback and not taking them, if you do what the Cardinals did, and not take Bosa, you're stuck with a quarterback. Is he good enough? Now, they paid him, but is he really good enough?
I mean, it's still up for debate as of right now. You know, me and the mayor are on shaky ground right now.
You have to defend so
no, much.
You're an unbelievable public defender. I admire your service.
No, he's on shaky ground with me after last year.
You should have fired him.
We'll see what happens when he gets healthy. Matthew Friedman from Betting Pros joins us next year to talk some NFL draft.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL draft this Thursday, and VSiN has everything you need to bet it smarter at VSiN.com/draft. Every NFL draft is different, and we have 5 tips for betting the NFL draft. Check out Matt Youmans' mock draft for the first round, and former NFL GM Michael Lombardi, hey, he's right here right next to me, gives his draft analysis. VSiN.com/draft is updated daily, so you get the latest position predictions, over under and best bets from the VSiN experts. Check it out today at VSiN.com/draft. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi here hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino. 15 minutes from now, Brian Broaddus, former NFL scout, host at 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas, will join us to talk some NFL draft. But to talk draft from the betting perspective, we bring in our first guest here on the program. He is the director of content over at Betting Pros, Matthew Friedman, number one mock drafter. Matthew Friedman, we appreciate the time, buddy. Thank you for joining us
here. That's a great title.
Hell of a title.
That's a hell of a title, Matthew.
Hell of a title.
The greatest mocker of all mocks.
Hell of a title. But let's get into your mock draft, because, Matthew, I'm seeing right now in your top four, you have Young, Anderson, Tyree Wilson, and Will Levis in that order, with Levis going forward to the Colts. But with your bets, you have bet Richardson, Anthony Richardson, under 4.5 at +280. Why the disparity there?
Yeah, so I released the mock, and I got to say, the draft starts at number 2, right? And we really have no solid idea of what's going to happen there. I look at a variety of mock drafts, and there are some people who have been really accurate for a number of years, and I kind of put all of this together, consolidate it, and create an index. And Anthony Richardson is going under 4.5 in about half of those mocks. And I think if you just kind of play this out logically of how the draft could go, we could easily see Will Levis going number two to the Texans. We could see a team trading up with the Cardinals to number three, maybe to draft Richardson. If Levis goes number two, we could see the Colts take Richardson at number four. So, you know, I think 4.5 is about the right number. I think 50% of the time Richardson goes over, 50% of the time he goes under. And an inflated number like that, 280, I mean, you just, I think you got to bet it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do, but logically it makes no sense to me. How do you take a guy, you know, let's go back to the tape. Like, at the end of the year, we all said, this guy needs to go back to school for another year. And now we're talking about him as a top four player in the country. I think it's really risky. And I think if you look at what Nick Bosa put his arm around Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury and said, you're going to regret not taking me. I think if you take Richardson at four, you're going to regret it. My question is from an evaluation standpoint. I think there's only one quarterback in this draft that in 5 years from now will still be a starting quarterback. I just think they're just one. I don't think you can do it the other way. Everybody else has problems with their game.
You know, Mike, that's a great point. So with the Anthony Richardson under 4.5, I'm not saying that this is what should happen.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't think I would do it. You think, like, he's sort of the Trey Lance function of this year's draft.
Yeah.
You know, like a guy who's got a lot of the physical tools, but who's incredibly raw. And maybe Anthony Richardson turns into a superstar, but, you know, I'd say the probability is that he doesn't. And absolutely right. I think Bryce Young is the guy, and I think the Texans were hoping they would be able to get him at number two. And so given that, I mean, it looks like he's going number one, they're sitting there thinking, what are we going to do? That said, I still feel like if there's a quarterback on the board that they like, they probably need to take him at two. And I think Tyree Wilson, Will Anderson, I think those are safer picks at number two. And maybe they can package the number 12 pick to move up to number three or five or seven and get a quarterback they like well enough who slides down the board. But, man, that just feels risky. And maybe they can trade for Mac Jones or Trey Lance and they can feel good enough. But I think the market expects them to take a quarterback. The fans expect them. Even the owner would probably expect them to take a quarterback at number two. And if there's not a guy that they like, then that is really unfortunate, and it's going to be hard to sell to the fans.
Right, but I think they're selling that he's 6 years. I got a six-year contract. I'm not going to be overly zealous. And I think if you know he's getting a lot of information from the 49ers, 49ers love Tyree Wilson. I think that that makes Houston love. I think a lot of it with Wilson is more of the medical. I think if he were clean and had worked out, everybody would have seen that this guy has got unique skills. Now, what I like, the other bet that you have here, I like Broderick Jones under 13.5. I mean, you can make, there's a lot of people debating whether it's Paris Johnson, the best left tackle, or whether it's Broderick Jones. You know, the media would lead you to believe it's Skronsky, but he's a guard. I mean, you could say he's a tackle, but he's going to end up playing guard in the NFL. I think these two kids are tackles. I like your mock where you have Paris Johnson going 9, but I could see him going earlier than that. And I like the Broderick Jones under 13.5.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of options there for where a tackle could go in the top 13. It could, you know, you could see that run start as easily as number 7 to Las Vegas. They could certainly use help on the offensive line. And then, yeah, the Bears at number 9, the Titans at 11, the Jets at 13. All of those are very much in play for an offensive tackle. And so even if a team looks at Skoronski and thinks, hey, you know, maybe he's a guard, but we can try him at right tackle to see how that goes, that's fine. There is still room for Broderick Jones to hit under 13.5.
We're speaking with Matthew Friedman, the director of content over at Betting Pros, NFL betting analyst, talking all things NFL draft here. Matthew, I'm looking at your mock draft right now. We talked about the quarterbacks. You have Bryce Young going 1 to the Panthers, Will Levis going 4 to the Colts, Anthony Richardson going 11 to the Titans. People, I'm sure, are wondering, where is C.J. Stroud going? You have him 12 to the Houston Texans. So what leads you to believe that we're going to see this Stroud fall outside of the top 10?
Well, I mean, there are a number of things, but I would say, the first is the S2, right? Like being able to process information, that's a really important thing for a quarterback. You know, that's maybe the most important thing that a quarterback can do. Just look at Tom Brady. He didn't have a lot of like amazing physical traits, but the guy had a computer for a brain, right? Like he could process information maybe better than any other quarterback we've seen. right? And so Stroud, I don't think he has quite the physical ability to be able to overcome what I would say maybe is like a perceived lack of mental acuity to be able to process, go through his reads in the way that we would expect a professional quarterback. And I'm not saying that's like Stroud's fault or anything. Some of it is the system that he has been in Ohio State that maybe it hasn't prepared him to do the things we would expect a professional quarterback to do. And I'll just say in general, quarterbacks tend to fall down the board more than mock drafters, more than analyst experts would anticipate. Just look at what happened last year. People were thinking that Malik Willis would go in round one. Desmond Ridder might go in round one. Those guys went in round three. Davis Mills, people talked about him as like a borderline quarterback on first round and second round, and he went in round three. This happens all the time where quarterbacks fall further down than we think. CJ Stroud, we were talking about him as a guy who can maybe go one, but man, if people aren't in love with these quarterbacks, and it looks like at pick number two, we're starting to see that these teams aren't in love with quarterbacks. And it looks like it might be harder for the Cardinals to trade out of number three than we were talking about a month ago. If that's the case, what's to stop these quarterbacks from falling out of the top 10?
I agree.
I think we see at least one of these guys fall.
I agree with you completely. I think that the value isn't there in the top 10. You can't grade them high enough to get them there. I mean, I've been saying that for a while, and it's a stretch. And what you don't want to do is need a quarterback after you pick one. Matthew, tell us when your final mock will be done. Do you do it Thursday morning? You do it Wednesday? When will it be done for people to take a look at?
Yeah, so I'll have, like, quote-unquote, the first version of the final mock on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and then I will update it, refresh it just a little bit if there's any breaking news or anything like that on Thursday afternoon as we're leading up towards the draft.
Yeah, and so how deep do you feel? Last year, talk to us about how you won this. How many did you get right out of the 32? This year, you only have to get 31 right.
Yeah. So, you know, over the past 4 years in one contest, I've been the number one guy in the aggregate. I haven't won any of these competitions, but I've been, you know, like top five a couple of times. And so I feel pretty good about that. But over the past 4 years, but, you know, for me, it's not so much about nailing the exact team to player. That's a little bit harder to do. But my feeling is that if I get the correct 31 as close as I can of like those guys going in the first round, and then if I can order the positions correctly, like order the quarterbacks correctly,
right,
and then if I can put guys in the general draft range where they're going to go, then I'm going to get close enough on the exact matches. And so I feel pretty good about that overall process.
Real quick, Matthew, we've got about 30 seconds left. Do you think Quentin Johnson has a chance to be the first wide receiver selected?
Yeah, I do. You know, he's the only guy out of those sort of like first round wide receivers who's the prototype build. Jackson Smith and Jigba, maybe there's a chance he can play outside, but we really haven't seen it. And he doesn't have like quite the physical speed that you would want out of a wide receiver. So, yeah, I think it's kind of a toss up. I would say they are much closer bunched together than people would expect and then the market indicates.
Great work, Matthew. Appreciate you today, man.
Awesome
really
stuff,
good man. Job.
Awesome stuff. Matthew Friedman. Check him out over at The Betting Pros, Director of Content, NFL Betting Analyst. Matthew, we appreciate it. And good luck with the mock draft coming up later on this week, buddy.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Awesome stuff. They're Quentin Johnson right now, 10-1 at BetMGM to be the first wide receiver selected. He has him under 26.5 at plus.
And he's only got three receivers going in the first round?
Yeah.
I told you, if you have five receivers in a mock draft going in the first round, throw it away.
Go ahead and revise that thing. Brian Broaddus of 105 Through the Fan joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, authorized gaming partner of the NBA, hits the court with a special playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25 if you miss one leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get a back $25 bonus bet if one leg in your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. bonuses. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. And Michael, I am absolutely fired up for our next guest.
You take it over.
As a Dallas Cowboys fan, I have listened to our next guest for a number of years, breaking down the Cowboys over at the Star, over back in Valley Ranch and all sorts of things. But he is a former NFL scout, now a host over at 105.3 The Fan, the one and only Brian Broaddus, joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Broaddus, we appreciate the time this morning. And let's start with this draft, because I know you've been breaking down the tape over the past few months here. Where's the strength of this draft?
Kind of feel like it's in a couple of different spots. And thank you very much for your kind words before we even get this started. But yeah, I feel like the strength of this draft, when you really look at it, I haven't figured out what's up with all these. I don't think Michael has ever been a part of a draft where you've seen more receivers that don't, how they fit these five, nine receivers. Never been. It's usually the strength of a draft could be at the wide receiver. We've seen that the last several years. But looking at this draft, I feel like we're going to lose. I think we're going to call him back on the phone. Looks like we lost the connection. Connection's a little shaky.
Yeah, it's strange. But he's right. I do think for the Cowboys, when we get him back on the phone, it's going to be interesting. The strength of this draft is tight end. And the Cowboys need a tight end. And so do the Bengals. And so I think those tight ends at the bottom of that, you know, that from 20 all down, you know, I think there's that tight end market's going to heat up. Kincaid has got an injury, which is concerning. I think he would be the first tight end picked, but I think the injury, the injuries are really hard to predict by other teams. You might know one team, but you don't know what the other team is. You might have a medical grade that's good for the player, but the other team may have them off their board. So that's the one area where mock drafters don't ever count for, is that medical. And Kincaid's a medical, and so is Tyree Wilson. That's what makes it so hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, with the medical stuff, I'm reminded going all the way back to 2016 when the Dallas Cowboys, it was Dr. Cooper who passed Jalen Smith, and they ended up taking Jalen Smith in the second round. We have reconnected with Brian Broaddus, host of 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas, and also a former NFL scout. Broaddus, you were talking about the strength of this draft here, talking about those wide receivers. Could you make your point there? Because we were cutting in and out there, so we didn't get to hear what you had to say.
Yeah, that's what I get for working for a $1 billion company. I'm here in studio, and our internet's not good. So my apologies to all your listeners for that. But, yeah, you know, this is, to me, when you look at this draft, and I mentioned the wide receivers because usually that's just really, it's a strength. The last several years, that's been a strength of this draft. But this year it's not, because everybody's trying to figure out what with these shorter receivers. I mean, I think if anybody's more you look at, they're going to have different names at the top of the line. There's a you know, feel like with Addison and Smith and Jigba and Johnston and all those guys, Hyatt, you know, those are all kind of different names. So I don't know if that necessarily is a strength when you start to talk about the, you know, that, but tight end, absolutely. I feel like that when you, you know, there's depending on what you're looking for. And I know covering the Cowboys, you know, Stephen Jones was on with us the other day talking about, you know, it's rare that you have the guys that are the receivers and the blockers. You know, Michael Mayer from Notre Dame kind of fits in that mold. You know, Kincaid is a guy that's more of a, you know, a guy that would flex or put out wide. Musgrave from Oregon State coming off an injury, but same type of player. Washington from Georgia is a, you know, a bigger guy, a, you know, kind of a rare size guy when you start to talk about the tight ends. But that it goes down like to like into the fourth and fifth round there. I feel like that. When you look at some of these, the running backs, this is a kind of a rare group, and I know people don't talk about the running backs as much, you know, as the passer. You know, people are like, oh, you can't take first-round running backs and all that. But this is one of those drafts I feel like it could go pretty deep for you when you start to talk about guys that not only can run the ball well, they give you some pass protection, but they also catch the ball very, very well. I like what I've seen so far at the defensive end position. I think it's got a little bit to it. And then also at cornerback, I think people can grab some value throughout the draft in that.
If you were picking the Texans and you were deciding between Tyree Wilson and Will Anderson, who you taking, Brian?
I'm taking Wilson is who I'm taking. And I, you know what, I, to me, I know Michael working with you and, you know, working with Bill Parcells and, you know, people like that. I mean, I'm just looking at the, you know, you start to look at the body types and you start to look at, you know, how these guys will hold up. And I just think with Wilson, there's been, you know, he fits my eye so perfect. You know, I mean, the height, the weight combination, he's listed like as a linebacker. I think he's going to play end. I mean, to me, the power, the strength, I mean, he's, you know, he's able to bring the ball carrier down with one hand. You see him play the run. He can control blockers. His upper body strength is really impressive there. I think he does a really good job of finding the ball. And he has to retrace his steps. He can kind of get that squared away. So, you know, I feel like that when you watch him attack the quarterback in the pocket too is another thing. He's always swatting at the ball, trying to knock it out of the hand. So give me Wilson over Anderson. There were several times where I kind of saw people neutralize Anderson, and that had a little bit of a concern for me.
Me too. I mean, like, I keep waiting for Anderson to make plays, and it just never seems to happen. You know, it doesn't seem to – like, I know he's got a great media a campaign behind him, and but you watch the tape. The tape doesn't lie. Wilson does make more plays, you know, and I think that, to me, you got to go by the tape. The Cowboys are set up pretty good, Brian. I mean, they need a tight end. I mean, do you feel like that's what they're targeting down there at the bottom of the first?
I think, Michael, they're looking at a couple of different spots there. I think they're going to let the board come to them. I know that's very cliché to say, but I feel like that with, you know, when they went out and they got, you know, Gilmore and Cooks, they kind of took care of a couple of things that maybe would keep them from going early in the direction of the corner or going in the direction of the wide receiver. So, yeah, I think they're open. This is how I think it would play. I think Mara's consideration there for them at 26 if he's available. I feel like then the next thing that they would look at would be Wright from Darnell Wright from Tennessee. If he were to get to them, you know, they could plug him. He's a tackle at Tennessee. You talk about blocking Will Anderson and stuff like that. I mean, he's got a couple really good tape of him versus Georgia versus Alabama where he's blocking these guys. And I feel like that the Bijan Robinson, if Bijan Robinson were to get to them at 26, and it's a minefield to get there, but you know, you just never know. And so I think those are the kind of the guys right now that they're holding on. They're looking at that tight end. They're looking at that interior offensive lineman. And then maybe the best player on their board at 26, if that happens to be Bijan Robinson, which I think it would be.
Broadus, we got a couple minutes left here. I know you played at LSU. You keep your eyes to what's going on in the SEC. We have four quarterbacks out of the SEC: Bryce Young, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker. When you watch these guys in the fall, has your opinion changed on them now that you put them under the microscope of the All 22 tape?
Yeah, I tell you what, it's interesting because I come from an era, and I know Mike's the same way, that they're, you know, if you talk about a 5'10, 5'11 quarterback going first overall or something like that, it would be, you know, you're like, your head would explode. You know, there was no way that would have ever been, you know, talked about. I will say this about Bryce Young. He is super calm in the way he plays. And you talk about the things that he's able to do, he's able to manipulate the pocket the way he does. He's just, I mean, I think the only thing, and I heard Michael talk about this, the Bears would not have traded out of this pick if, you know, if Bryce Young was 6'2", 6'3". You wouldn't have done it. So to me, I feel like that's the only thing really limited him. I really do love Hendon Hooker. And you know, I think there's something to guys that have played for, you know, played a lot of games, you know, have had experience in games. I mean, the 1 year's guys, the Richardson, those guys scare me. It's give me the guys that have played a lot of snaps. I think if Hendon Hooker wasn't injured, I think Hendon Hooker would be right up there in the conversation with these other guys as well. So, you know, and you know, and you say what you want about the Ohio State kid. I get it, but I watched the tape of the game against Georgia. Georgia's got a pro defense. You know, I mean, he's working against a pro defense, but you know, on his side of the ball, he's got receivers, he's got an offensive line, he's got a lot of things going on there. So I'll tell you what, man, it's going to be interesting to see how these people pick these guys off this board.
Awesome. He is Brian Broaddus, host
Brian.
Of 105.3 in the Fan
Thank
down
you,
in Dallas.
Appreciate
also
it. Great work, man.
Scout. Good talking to you, Broaddus. Be well.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you much.
That does it for hour number one. Hour number two, NFL draft superlatives next here on the Lombardi Line.